Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part 2 of Predestined to Glory. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 verse 30 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Mankind, we are all in sin. And left to ourselves, none of us are going to go in search of God. The Bible tells us that. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. So the natural bent of every human being is to go in the opposite direction of God. If I'm going to come to God, if I'm going to stop moving in that opposite direction and turn toward him, he has to call me in order for that to happen. Now, again, the distinction between Calvinistic and non-Calvinistic views here is the non-Calvinistic view would say God puts that call out to everybody. The Calvinistic view would say, no, God only puts that call out to the elect. So we believe that that call goes out to everyone. Jesus said many are called, and the word many there, like in other places, it implies everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. So God, his call goes out to every human being. But obviously not everyone responds, right? But there are those that do respond. There are those that God knows in advance will respond, and God calls them. So God has called us. And he calls us through all different kinds of things. He calls us sometimes through the circumstances of our lives. We're going along. We have no interest in God, no thought of God, no concern as to whether there's even a God at all. And then suddenly life circumstances change. And maybe we face some kind of hardship, or maybe our lives meet some sort of tragedy. And this hardship, this tragedy, suddenly gets me to start thinking about things that I haven't thought about before. Now, anybody who's gone through that and become a Christian, you would look back at this point in your life, wouldn't you? That's when the call began. You remember there was a moment in time or a period in time when your thinking process started to change. That was that work of the Spirit through the circumstances in your life. So sometimes it's through life circumstances. Sometimes the call comes through a deep conviction of sin. We have a deep conviction of sin and we sense that we're not right. And we feel guilty, and rightfully so, because we are guilty. But the reality of that guilt starts to weigh on us. And because we feel this guilt, we start looking for ways to relieve the guilt. And those things that are weighing upon us, they can often be the thing that will ultimately push us in the direction of the Lord. You see, this is how God calls us. So through life circumstances, through the conviction of sin. Sometimes it's through the witness of another person. Sometimes it's a life, and you know, there's somebody you know. Maybe they've gone through a transformation, and you've watched it, and you remember the kind of person they were, and you see the kind of person they are today, and you look at them and you say, you know, there's got to be a supernatural explanation for this. Or you see somebody, maybe somebody you work with or something, and you watch them, and you see a consistency in them, and you see that they're patient, and they're kind, and they're loving. And they have faith, and they trust God, and they have peace. See, all of these kinds of things, these are the means by which God calls us. Sometimes it's we come into contact with the Word. We hear somebody preach, maybe. I've seen people get saved, genuinely saved, when they had no intention of doing anything like that, but they happened to be passing by where somebody was preaching. I remember years ago doing an outreach, and I remember one night preaching and just preaching the gospel to whoever heard. I mean, there were, you know, people there in the audience, but I was well aware of the fact that there were people walking up and down the pier, there were people on the boardwalk, and I was just preaching my lungs out. And there was a couple that decided to come out and take a stroll on the pier that night. Lo and behold, they got saved. They got plugged into the church. They got involved in the ministry. And it was just an amazing transformation that took place in their life. The call came through the preaching of the Word. You know, sometimes it's even an audible voice. I mean, I've talked to people that have heard God call them. They just went, what was that? You know, there's a voice. God spoke. We hear stories of people who have visions and dreams. All of these are various means by which God calls us. But this is the work of God. This is the work of the Spirit. Were it not for the call of God, all of us would continue to go in the direction opposite of God. So the call goes out to all people. So whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. So he calls us to himself, and then he justifies us. We talked a lot about justification in previous studies, you remember. He justified us. He declared us to be righteous. He imputed to us the righteousness of Christ by grace through faith. Again, our part is simply, we're just responding. We're responding to the call. And as we respond in faith, God justifies us. He wipes away our sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And now he accepts us in the Beloved. He sees us pure in Christ. We're justified. But then he says, these he also glorified. These he also glorified. Now here's the amazing thing. Paul uses the past completed tense here for an event that hasn't yet happened. He uses the exact same tense for this event that is yet future that he uses for the events that have already occurred. And this is the point. Paul is so absolutely convinced that he that has begun a good work in us is going to complete it. He's so absolutely convinced that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul speaks of those who have been foreknown and predestined and called and justified as already having been glorified. Are you worried about making it to heaven ultimately? Are you fearful that you in the end might not persevere? Are you afraid that at some point, having been saved, you might be lost? Paul says, whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, if you remember, as we've studied and as we've talked about some of these different words, we talked about justification, we've talked about sanctification, and we've talked about glorification. Paul omits, in a sense here, sanctification. He doesn't entirely omit it, because that's really what he's referring to when he's talking about being conformed to the image of Christ. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification means to be set apart, or, and the word holy implies being set apart. So the word sanctification means to be set apart for God, for His glory, for His purpose, set apart from sin, so forth. But the best way to understand that is simply this. Sanctification is being made more like Jesus. And our sanctification will culminate in our glorification, when we will be made totally like Jesus. When we will shed these sinful bodies. When we will no longer live with that wrestling between the flesh and the spirit. When we will receive that redeemed body that is like Christ. So, in the whole context, it's there. But in this progression that he lays out here, it's not there. But again, I think Paul is intentional here, because he wants us to know the certainty of our salvation. He wants us to know that Christ is going to complete what he started in our lives. Now think about this. Since it's whom he foreknew that he also predestined, and whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified, as though it's already done. It's already done in God's mind. Now, if you're not going to arrive at the final destination, you would never start in the process in the first place. It's like what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. It's a similar thing. That we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us to what? That we should be holy and blameless. Now, think about this. If I'm not going to get there in the end, how does that work? Because God, that's what God chose me for. He chose me to that. So I think our reasoning could lead us to understand that if we're not going to get there to the end, there's no choosing in the first place. He chooses those who are going to get there. And again, all of this that Paul wants to drive home to us has to do with security, has to do with our understanding that Christ is able, that he's going to get us there. No matter what the suffering, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the opposition might be, Christ is going to keep us. And this message is stated over and over in the scriptures. I love what it says in Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from stumbling. There are lots of people, lots of Christian people who live in fear, who live in anxiety of maybe in the end finally being cast off, not making it, being turned away from the gates of heaven, if you will. But know this, that's not going to happen to you. Now, the devil wants you to think that's going to happen to you. And so anytime you mess up, anytime you stumble, anytime you fall, anytime you sin, he comes along and he's right there to point that accusing finger and to question the validity of your salvation and to insinuate to you, you're never going to make it. And he wants you to live in fear. He wants you to live in dread. He wants you to be filled with anxiety. And there are lots of people that live that way. No assurance. No confidence. They're not able to rest. But you know, if we're not able to rest, it's because we're thinking that something other than Jesus saves us. We're thinking that somehow it's something that I'm got to do. But if I just get a hold of this understanding that Jesus saves me. And I have had conversations with people that have been Christians their entire lives. Good, solid Christians, getting up in age in their 80s. I've had conversations with people in this church who are uncertain about whether they're ultimately going to make it to heaven. And I encourage them, you're going to get there. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Past tense, it's already done. He's done it. One commentator said, in regard to the use of glorified in the past tense, he said, this is the boldest statement of faith in the New Testament. I thought, man, that's true. Paul is just coming right out and saying, it's done. It is a done deal. God has done it. So you don't have to worry. Now, we do have some passages in the Bible that warn us about the need to be obedient, to be faithful, and those kinds of things, don't we? My personal conviction is that if you genuinely are a believer, you're saved. Just like it says here. Glorified, it's already done. But there are some passages in the New Testament that seem to just bring just a tiny bit of ambiguity to this. And I think it's intentional. God wants us to be totally secure. He wants us to be confident in our salvation. He wants us to know that we're going to make it to heaven. But because we're sinners, you know, sometimes we can take that good thing that's intended to encourage us, and we can twist it and use it to slack off. Oh, well, you know, I'm going to be saved anyway. Well, it doesn't really matter. I don't have to be all that serious about God. My salvation's totally secure. And I've had both types of experiences. I've had people come to me, like I've already described, who are saved, no question about it. They're fearful. They're going to lose their salvation. And you know what I do? I take them to all these great verses that encourage them. But if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I'm fornicating, I'm partying, I like to go out and drink, but man, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've had people tell me that, lots of people, believe it or not. I remember one guy, you know, sitting across the desk from me with a gal that he's living with, left his wife. They're sleeping together. They're partying together. And he says, you know what? I feel closer to God than I've ever felt in my life. Man, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, let me tell you something, pal. You are deluded. So when somebody comes like that, with that arrogance, with that sort of thing, like, hey, I'm saved, man. I don't have anything to worry about. I always pull out the warning scriptures for them. See, let me show you this verse right here. God wants us to be secure. But that security isn't there for us to go out and just live in sin and say we don't have to worry about it because we're going to heaven regardless. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, if I'm really saved, like we're describing here, foreknown, predestined, called, justified, being conformed into the image of Christ, then those are not things that I'm going to want to go out and pursue. Those are the things that God saves us from. Doesn't save us so we can go out and keep doing those things. He saves us from those things. So, having made this glorious statement, these he also glorified. It's done. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, that's it. God is for us. You know, I think that God has just had the worst representation all throughout history by so many of his own people. And quite often, God is being represented to his people as not being for us, but being against us. God's not against us. He's for us. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not condemning you. He's not looking for you to mess up so he can judge you. He's not looking for an opportunity to make your life miserable. No, God is for us. He wants us to know that he's for us. I was listening to a guy recently who was talking about his congregation. And he's a well-known preacher. He's a powerful preacher. He's a rather hard Calvinist as well. He's a good man. But, you know, he said something that really struck me. He said some people in his congregation have come up to him and said, you know, I always feel really bad, condemned, guilty, sinful after I hear you preach. And you know, the thing that struck me was he didn't see that that was that big of a problem. And when I heard him say that, I thought, you're giving the wrong message. If you come to church every week and get told what a miserable, wretched sinner you are, and you have to crawl out the door feeling condemned, the guy in the pulpit is not doing his job. God is for us. He's not against us. We're his people. He loves us. We're the apple of his eye. Sure, we need sometimes to be rebuked. Sometimes, like all kids, we need a little spanking here or there. And absolutely, if we're in sin, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us. But you know, we're not here to get out the microscope and I know there's really some sin in your life that you haven't even seen. Let me find it right now so you can feel really miserable about yourself when you leave here. Feel really condemned. That's not what we're to do. It happens, unfortunately. Remember that great blessing in Numbers? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, be gracious to thee. I love the text itself, but what I love about it is the context. The context is this. God says to Moses and Aaron, this is what I want you to tell my people. I want you to say the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I'm sure God was saying that to them, and he's saying it to every generation of preachers, because every generation of preachers, all of us have a tendency, we want to say a bunch of other things. We want to say what a lousy bunch of Christians you are. You guys aren't really serving God. You know, I don't even know if you're really saved. I mean, where's your devotion? Where's your commitment? God said to Moses and Aaron, no. You tell them this. You tell them the Lord bless you and keep you. That's God's heart. That's Paul's heart. He's God's man. He's the apostle. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. God is for you. He foreknew you. He predestined you. He called you, he justified you, he glorified you. It's already done.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of God is for Us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Predestined to Glory. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0145. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.